The single word enabled Ryan to visualize where she was as clearly as a great flash of lightning. There was no reply, but Ryan thought he detected a flutter of movement close by the broken window.
Traven, you there, Adam?
Ryan slithered through the darkness, ready to take her. But at the very last moment, she moved suddenly and convulsively toward him. They collided so hard that Ryan almost lost his footing in the lake of spilled blood.
Ah, fuck!
The young woman squeezed the trigger on her Colt 45, the bullet scorching the back of Ryan's left hand and nearly making him drop the flensing knife.
Traven.
The blood was so thick that Ryan could feel it lapping around his boots. The girl tried to fire again, but he had her arms pinned to her sides.
Bastard prick!
For a moment, it was a frontier standoff. He couldn't let go to stab her, and she couldn't shoot him. They swayed back and forth, feet slipping in the pooled blood.
Right around!
What about Red Wing?
Just do it!
Ryan managed to hook his foot around the young woman's ankle, pushing her over. He landed on top, digging his knee into her stomach. She went limp beneath him, and he rolled to one side, feeling for her neck, ready to slice open the jugular, when the room filled with bullets. Lead poured in through the broken window. Ryan didn't count the shots. He had flattened himself, hearing the shots hiss above him, crashing into walls, display cases, and furniture. He was showered with splinters of wood and glass.
Gotcha now.
Should I reload?
No. Back to center point. Come on!
It took Ryan less than 10 seconds to locate the killing spot at the side of the semi-conscious girl's throat and open it with the edge of the big panga. Another 5 seconds had him moving across the devastated room, stumbling over two corpses on the way, and picking his way quickly and carefully through the smashed window. Ryan was always careful around broken glass. He'd been in the building years ago when a tail gunner on Warwag 2 had slipped climbing in through just such a window. The shards had ripped open the femoral artery in the inside of his thigh. The man had bled to death before anyone could reach him. By the time Ryan was on his feet in the damp grass, adjusting to where he was in the darkness, he heard Traven a couple of hundred yards away, screaming to the sec guards, warning them of an armed intruder. But Ryan had cut away to the left, picking his way with faultless accuracy to the gap in the defenses of the Rainbow's End retirement complex. He climbed into the branches of a tree, then ran toward the heart of the build, following the trail of Traven and the young man. Ryan's mind was filled with worry for the survival of Doc Tanner. There were two big strikes against his old friend. One was that Ryan had failed in his attempt to chill Traven and all members of his murderous gang. The two survivors would reach center point before him. And two, with just the two knives, he couldn't hope to do much against the squad of sec men who'd be confronting him, which meant only one option. There had been the faint possibility of going again into that sodden shambles and trying to find a couple of the dropped Colts. Even if Ryan had succeeded without getting killed by the sec guards, he'd have had a maximum of 16 spaced rounds for close range. Little use for the firefight that he knew was coming.
The Gator Motel.
There was a brief rain shower as he ran, barely enough to dampen the paths and make them glisten. The moon had broken through the cloud, throwing his shadow ahead of him. Ryan considered the risk of Traven and his last sidekick stopping to reload, then ambushing him from cover as he sprinted blindly past them. But that wasn't the way it went. Traven had heard 6 of his 7 acolytes chopped down within 2 paces of him. If he was feeling anything, it would be terror, and an overwhelming desire to find somewhere solid with reinforcements. Ryan reached one of the main trails that would eventually lead him to the motel and generated more speed, knowing that it could only be a matter of moments before Traven roused Greenglade'sville against him, against them all. The motel finally came into sight, shimmering in the moonlight. A young sec man was dozing in front of the main entrance. He heard Ryan's boots pounding on the gravel and sat up, reaching for the blaster at his belt. Without even breaking stride, Ryan swung the panga and hacked clean through the guard's slender neck and sprinted on. At his back, Ryan heard the pattering of blood and the hollow sound as the severed head hit the ground. Christy had felt him returning and was out in the corridor, his Sig Sauer in her hand. Behind her in the doorway stood JB, holding his Uzi. As Ryan slowed to a walk, struggling to control his breathing, he also spotted Mildred. All 3 of them were fully dressed, ready to move, ready for action. JB had the Steyr rifle slung across his shoulders.
How many did you chill? Gaia, you're covered in blood. Are you hurt?
Not hurt. Didn't take out enough of them. One of the boys and Traven himself got away.
Where? Center point?
Yeah.
Mildred's face was set like stone.
Have they hurt Doc? If they have.
Not yet. We gotta move, now, real quick, before they get organized. Come on.
They'd only gone a few paces when Ryan skidded to a halt.
Who's got the radio?
In the drawer. I'll get it.
Christy saw Ryan hesitate.
Go on, lover. I can easily catch up with you.
Run faster than you.
When she took the small transceiver out of the drawer, it was switched on. And Jack was sending a message to Ryan.
Rob! Hey, Ryan! Come in! Hey!
Ryan took his rifle from JB and slipped it over his shoulder, though he already knew this wasn't likely to be a long-range firefight. The three friends raced toward center point. There had been another brief shower, and the air tasted cooler and fresher. A shot was fired at them from somewhere beyond Paraglide Paradise, but it went harmlessly overhead. They didn't stop. Ryan held up a hand as he saw the main lights of the entrance to center point ahead of them. He looked over his shoulder.
Where's...
But Christy was already close, running lightly toward them, the heels of her boots clicking on the tarmac path. She was carrying the radio in her right hand.
Message from Jack.
What?
Couldn't catch it properly. Faint and all broken up by static.
Ryan was torn by the desire to try to listen to the radio and the certain knowledge that delay could prove fatal for all of them.
You hear anything?
Kept calling for you, lover. And I'm sure I heard him say Dean's name as well. Want to try?
No, there's no time.
Ryan looked around at the others.
Only one plan. Here it is.
A quick calculation made it certain that Adam Traven couldn't have had more than about 3 minutes to make any effort to organize the defense of the tower. It was also reasonable to assume that he'd want to get up to the top as quickly as possible. Which meant the Sekhmen who were milling around the main doors to center point would be like decapitated chickens. Using the sniper rifle, Ryan picked off four of them.
Let's get the fuck out of here!
The other half-dozen scattered into the night.
Nice shooting in poor light.
Fish in a barrel with a starlight scope.
Ryan laid the SSG-70 on the ground. JB glanced behind them.
Think he'll call in some help?
Doubt it. No time. Be after Doc, maybe Boss Larry, too. Now most of his plans are blown out the window.
Ryan led the way through the double glass doors with the brass alligator handles, across the main lobby toward the bank of elevators. Mildred pointed to the left-hand indicator.
One's already up at the top.
Be waiting for us.
There were five more cages, waiting silently, doors gaping open. Ryan looked at his companions for a moment.
All right, let's do it.
Hundreds of feet above them, the vast room revolved slowly. Doc Tanner stood near one of the windows, his forehead pressed against the cool glass, watching the dark world of Florida moving gently past him. He appeared to be lost in a mindless dream, but every one of his senses was on the alert. Since Traven and his panic-stricken cohort had burst from the elevator, Doc knew that life was measured in short minutes. Whatever happened, he was ready to go down with fists flying. Farther to the left, Boss Larry Zapp was seated on his throne. With an enormous struggle during the previous night, his two mutes had lifted it onto a platform of stacked tables and then helped the bloated figure to be seated. Zapp had been inhaling such vast quantities of dream that his face and the front of his maroon caftan were dusted pink. As far as Doc could see, the Baron was barely conscious. His two attendants, shaven-headed and muscular, stood patiently, one on each side of the throne. Near the elevators, crouched behind their blasters, were two of the youngest Sekhmen in the Vill. The appearance of Traven and the one survivor of the posse, both shouting and on the edge of terror, had freaked the guards, and their fingers twitched on the triggers of the Colts. Traven's boy, almost gibbering with fear, was sitting slumped at one of the round tables, his head in his hands. Doc had noticed from the pungent odor that the youth had fouled himself in fright. Last was Adam Traven himself. His small figure was in a whirl of constant movement, dancing and singing, his glass-sewn jacket flaring around him. One of the six elevators rested on the top floor. The other five were in the lobby.
Here they come.
Traven spun around, his Beretta gleaming in the subdued glow of the wall lights.
The little piggy's ready for supper. Which one are you using?
All of them! They're all fucking coming at us!
The illuminated indicators above each of the five sets of double doors were